recorded live.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, fellas, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by Head of Household. And this show is broadcast live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a show for the ladies in your lives that runs on Tuesday nights at the exact same time. So, again, we've got a ladies' call going on right now. And their topic for the evening is honesty. Should I really tell him everything? So, yeah. So make sure you can go to the website on either show. You can get, you know, all the information. Give the website www.householdstress.com. Again, that's householdstress.com. Just give your ladies the website, and they can jump right in as an anonymous guest. Very good conversation they're going to have tonight. But, you know, we have a few rules, and they are absolutely no profanity, no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. The show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that everybody feels comfortable on our show. And the virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. The topic for tonight is Mr. Mom. And for the duration of the show, let's all try to use the term Mr. Mom so that we can stay focused on the topic at hand. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. And I did bring a few Trump cards with me this evening. I usually have them all put away, but I did bring my Trump cards with me. And also have, where is it? Here we go. Also have my little seatbelt sign. Y'all remember seatbelt sound? You know, y'all remember that? Sure y'all remember that. I can find it here. There it is. I'll play it for you. Basically, when you hear that, it's about to get a little bumpy, you know, as some call it, the monkey wrench. You know, I call it, you know, that sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable when you hear that sound. But please try to hang on until the 10:30 to 11 o'clock time frame, because you'll definitely want to hear the end of this episode, because I have three different conclusions for this evening. So if you have to leave the show before that time, please feel free to call back in any time between the conclusion, the last 30 minutes, 10:30 to 11. And just a reminder, this is a fluid conversation. So if you have something to say, just go ahead and jump in anytime. This is not my show. This is your show. I'm just the host for the evening, just trying to direct traffic and fly this plane. So with all of that said, the economy is currently in a recession, a slump. As more women take up the helm of being the main breadwinner, a greater number of men than ever before have taken to being Mr. Mom in an effort to save costs on child care and allow a still-employed wife to focus on her career. First question of the evening, what does it mean to you to be a Mr. Mom? What exactly does a Mr. Mom do, in your own words? Nobody knows. There's no right or wrong answers here. What does it mean to be a Mr. Mom?
Rodney,
go ahead.
Rodney, I'm thinking that a Mr. Mom is pretty much just the husband doing the mom's role, just taking over for the kids, putting them to school, getting them up, getting baths, making sure they're fed, dressed, and well taken care of. Basically, it is what it is. It's just allowing mom, your wife, to as you said, fulfill her career or take care of business. Sometimes it's not always a career move. In my case, I've had to be a Mr. Mom from time to time when my wife has had responsibilities with her family because my wife doesn't work, but it doesn't preclude her from having to leave the home for a couple of days, and there I am with my daughter and taking care of her.
Okay, good words. Anybody else want to explain what does it mean to be a Mr. Mom? What does a Mr. Mom do, in your own words?
A Mr. Mom. A Mr. Mom, from what I have seen, is essentially the nurturer, is, you know, essentially the one who is, you know, is probably packing the lunches for the kids, is the one that, you know, the kids are always coming to anytime they down and they just need to be nurtured or loved. And like I said, essentially, it's just like what the word is, an oxymoron. You know what I mean? It's a reversal of the roles, and in some ways, I think it's pretty unnatural.
Okay.
It can be, and I think it can feel unnatural. But I mean, in some cases, it can be necessary.
Okay, Patrice, you were saying something?
Yeah. I was going to say it's the backup.
Okay.
It is taking over the part of what you may think is not your full responsibility, but you know, in my case, my wife works hospital, so sometimes she has to work night. So I back her up. I take care of the kids, which is usually her priority with the homeworks and stuff. So, you know, it's playing that secondary role, it's playing that backup role when mom is unavailable at that point in time, that you got to take over that responsibility.
Yeah, but just because you're filling in, does that necessarily mean that you got to be a Mr. Mom? I mean, you can still be, you know, dad even when, you know, mom ain't there. I think it moves more so closer to almost like an identity crisis when you're labeled a Mr. Mom. I mean, yeah, everybody, you know, if you got to fill in, you know, or, you know, if the mom is gone, there's a certain role that you're going to take on. But I think when you're a Mr. Mom, you're coming out of, you know, your natural, I guess, demeanor, or, you know, or what, you know, a father, you know, would typically act like.
Yeah, good words, good words.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe, you know, there's also a little more. I mean, if you look at this economy right now, Mr. Mom can be, hey, I'm the one laid off. I'm the head of household, but I'm the one laid off. But my wife is still working. So until I find my job, I'll take the mom duty and handle all the responsibilities until, you know, I find that other job. That can be another case for Mr. Mom.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying there, but I think you can be, to me, I think you can, you know, be laid off and your mom and the mother is working, but you're still not a Mr. Mom. Like I said, to me, it's more so of an identity crisis, you know what I mean, you know, type of ordeal where you're almost, it's like you're totally out of your role. Like, I mean, you can be laid off and be at home, you know what I mean, still actively, you know, pursuing or looking for a job and still not looked at by your kids as the, you know, the primary nurturer or the one they're going to come, you know, and cry to and, you know, and seek refuge in. You know, I mean, I think you can still maintain that masculine role regardless of what the situation is, and you know, still be the head of household. Right. So to me, Mr. Mom is a serious extreme, and it has a negative undertone to it to me.
Okay, good words. Good. I want to ask y'all this. Just good words, fellas. I want to ask y'all this just to keep it moving along here. Did everybody grow up in a very traditional family structure in which your father never changed diapers or did laundry or washed dishes? Or did anybody on here grow up with a father that was a Mr. Mom? I speak for my father. We literally, this past Christmas, I got two daughters, as y'all, you know, some of y'all may know, 6 and 2. And they got a baby doll, one of them, I don't even remember which one, got a baby doll that pees and poops on itself. And we actually have pictures because my father was changing the baby doll's diaper because it came with real diaper and all this good stuff. But literally my mom said that's the first diaper this man has changed. My father's almost 60 years old. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, she was exaggerating because I don't know if he's changed my daughter's diapers or my brother's kids' diapers or whatever. But, you know, he was definitely not a Mr. Mom, you know, at all. And but anybody else, you know, grew up in that very traditional family structure where pops was just like, hey, you know, leave me out of that. Or, you know, on the flip side, did anybody on here grow up with a Mr. Mom?
My father, you see, I wouldn't call my father a Mr. Mom, you know what I mean? Although, you know, he might have helped every once in a while, you know, done the laundry or, you know, prepared a meal once a week. But, you know, still, you know, for him, although he helped out, you know, he was far from a Mr. Mom. So, I mean,
okay.
If I had to place him in one category or the other, you know what I mean, it definitely wouldn't be in the Mr. Mom category.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
I'm happy to agree with you.
Okay, go ahead, Patrice.
I I can't, honestly, I just can't remember if my dad changed my diaper or not. I couldn't tell.
Well, Patrice, you would remember that.
Right, but I mean, I can't remember my mom having a conversation like, is saying, yeah, your dad, you know, he handled his business. I just don't think he was. I think he was old school also. That, and my dad, you know, is in the medical field, but I just don't think that he changed his diaper. I can't say he hasn't changed it. If my kids, not, when my kids, he'd be like, huh, go handle your business.
Yeah.
You know, he never did, like, took the initiative and said, I'll do it for you. Go ahead. I got it.
Right, right. Did for the brother that said his mom, his dad was sort of a Mr. Mom. Did you respect him more or less for being a quote unquote Mr. Mom? And again, that's just the term we're using. But did you respect him more or less for you know, just stepping in and filling that duty?
You talking to me or you talking to
others? No, the other brother said his father kind of stepped in. Go ahead, brother. I don't know if you're still on the line or not, but did you
right,
respect
he's not
him
talking
more?
To me,
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, yeah. No. Like I said, no, as I was saying, if I had to classify him, I wouldn't have classified him as a Mr. Mom, because if he was a Mr. Mom, no, I wouldn't have respected him. But like I said, he was...
Oh, okay. All right.
He was far from it. I mean, he was a disciplinarian, you know what I mean? You know, but like I said, there was times when, you know, my mother would be, you know, they were both military parents. And
yeah.
So my mom might be overseas for, you know, 2 years or 6 months at a time. He might be gone, you know, for, you know, some time. So he was never did he take the role as a, you know, just a straight, you know, nurturer or, you know, as the, you know, I never, I mean, my father wouldn't even let me call him daddy, if you believe that. You know, I mean, the term daddy did not exist. You know, if I called him that, you know, I was getting hit. So, but, you know, I mean, to say that, though, he still, every once in a while, he'd cook. Every once in a while, I might see him, you know, doing the laundry. Every once in a while, I might see him doing the dishes. But, like I said, it was not a big enough occurrence that, you know, I would ever label him a Mr. Mom. But the answer to your question is no, I probably wouldn't have respected him. And
okay.
That might be my own ignorance, but.
Okay. All right. Good words. Anybody else want to jump in on that? Well, let me ask you this before y'all go on. Same topic, same area, but did anybody have and I actually got a story for this one too, but did anybody's father retire and then become a Mr. Mom in, you know, the after retirement life? And, you know, I speak of that because my mother, my father retired and my mother was still working and, you know, during his days home, it was probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years in between the time where, you know, he was retired and she was still working, but they're both retired now. But, you know, during that period, you know, she would, you know, tell him to, fold the clothes and get the clothes washed, you know, hang up the clothes. And, you know, again, back to what I stated earlier, you know, my father just was like, what? You know, he's not going to do that. And, you know, so he would literally wait for her to come home from work. You know, she has to still go out and fold the clothes and still have to, you know, do, you know, cook dinner, you know, and everything. He was just kind of waiting for her to come home. So did anybody have that situation where your father retired and then became a Mr. Mom? But I know my father didn't. But typically fathers only do about 20% of the child rearing and the housework. And I'll give you all an example. When you're out at a restaurant and you see a father and mother out to dinner with their little baby, who would a stroller be usually sitting next to?
The stroller usually is hanging right beside the mama.
Exactly, Patrice. So while the father's eating a nice and relaxing dinner, the mom's stressed out while tending to the baby, and the father may not even notice. You know, so just a sidebar there, but anybody on here currently consider themselves a Mr. Mom, or have you ever, you know, as a gentleman was mentioning that his father would step in, but not necessarily as Mr. Mom, but anybody on here consider themselves a Mr. Mom, or have you ever been a Mr. Mom?
Well, let me first start out by saying that I think I understand the topic and definitely the title is Mr. Mom, but I think the term is outdated. Because, you know, I think most of you have heard me on the call. I'm all for women holding certain roles, doing certain things in the household, expectations of being a wife. Y'all have heard me say it. because I'm coming from an old school mindset with how I think roles are established in the home. But having said that, I think the Mr. Mom piece is outdated a little bit because I just look at it as a standpoint of I'm being a dad, I'm being a father, and these are things I'm supposed to do to take care of my family. So
right.
I need to cook something, I'm going to cook something. If I need to fold some clothes, I will fold some clothes. If I need to take somebody to the daycare and pick them up, that's what I will do. But I don't really know if I see it as being a Mr. Mom. I see it as being a father.
Right.
Because at this point in time with where we are, you know, with, you know, two-income households, definitely being more progressive in our approach towards the family structure, you know, it takes two people to really be engaged and involved with raising these children. So I don't know if I would see myself as a Mr. Mom. I just see myself as being a father.
Okay. Good work.
So you're saying the term is outdated.
I think it's outdated.
So I think what you're saying is, hey, it's just part of the job.
I think it's part of being a father. I mean, if you need to change diapers, do those things, that's, you just need to do it. Because here's the thing. If my wife is out on a business trip for something to make our family better, I don't feel that I'm being a mom. I'm just being a dad taking care of my kids because my wife is away on business. Let's say my wife is the one that's making all the money in some aspects and making more money than I am, or she really is an entrepreneur, has a business or something like that, or, you know, is affiliated or collaborated with a business with her, a family member or something like that, or she's a surgeon or, you know, a renowned Nobel Peace Prize somebody and she's going to speak at places. Well, if I'm here with the kids, I'm not being a mom. I'm just being their father because their mother's away. I'm not going to let them struggle or have to fend for themselves because I'm just not going to fold clothes. I'm just not going to wash clothes. No, I'm going to do the things that are necessary in order for me at this time. And that's why I say I think the term is a little outdated. I think now when you think about families, it's gotten a little bit more progressive.
Okay. I believe you might be a little right because I'm just thinking, you notice more men doing things that you didn't see in the past.
Right.
When it came to marriage, going back to when you first have your child, you know, all the women get together and want to throw that baby shower. You never used to see the men at the baby shower.
Now it's co-ed showers.
Yeah.
That was the co-ed.
Yeah, I didn't go, though. I didn't go. I didn't go, though.
Oh man, y'all are way ahead of me. Y'all are way ahead of me.
My bad.
Yeah, no, y'all are good. But I want us to continue to use this outdated term as my man Peyton has told us, and you know it's for a purpose. So bear with me. But you know, here's one: if you were to find yourself unemployed, you know this is interesting. Would you even consider being a Mr. Mom?
No.
Nope.
Okay, we got some honesty, fellas. Somebody expound.
I need to go find me a job.
Okay.
That's my whole goal. and I'm just being honest, you know, because things have changed, lifestyles have changed. You know, we don't buy houses with one income and involved now like they did in the past because the man would do the working and usually the mother stayed home or she may have got a little part-time and then, you know, her full responsibility was the kids. You know, today we buy, you know, joint. We got joint bank accounts. We got joint on the mortgage, on the lien, on the house. And so usually you take the head of household's money as a primary. So if anything happened to me, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on your wife to, you know, to spend out her money to take care of the home, keep the lights on and keep all that. So to me, if I lost my job tomorrow, I'm out here the next morning, you know, hustling, trying to get a new job quickly.
So you would be upset if you weren't contributing to the household financially?
100%. I feel like a failure if I'm not handling my business.
Okay.
And that's just me personally, but
no, I agree
feel
with
like
that.
A failure.
I agree with that too. I think for in the interim, while I was looking for that next opportunity, I would definitely look to contribute, and that's how I would see being a Mr. Mom. I would see it as, look, this is my way of contributing right now in the interim, since I am not leaving this place every day to go do stuff. So I'm going to make sure these things here are getting done in a timely fashion. But, of course, in the process of doing that, I'm going to be looking for another job.
If you didn't, you'd just be that dude sitting around the house. That's how you'd be looking.
But I guess
and is that man right behind the house? Is that the Mr. Mom we're talking about now, Rodney?
Well, yeah. I'm gonna get into that too, but you know, I want to ask this. You know, say you were, you know, staying at home, would it be better if you had some money coming in, you know, via some type of home-based business or some other venture, and not just kind of just hanging out, you know, watching Dr. Phil and eating bonbons or whatever the case may be?
Yep, right out front, got a lemonade stand, making cookies, selling them out the front kitchen window.
There it is.
I'm doing something.
Can you still be the head of your household if your wife is doing all the work?
Yes. I will speak from experience. You know, in a lot of senses of the term, a lot of people will consider me a Mr. Mom, and that's for several reasons. One, I'm a neat freak. She's not. A lot of my close friends say I'm borderline OCD, so I'm always cleaning up. I can't go to sleep with dishes, dirty dishes in the sink.
I'm with you on that one.
Amen.
It's immaculate. I have to make my bed every morning. You know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
constantly
up. And this happened before we had the kid. I was always washing dishes.
Yep.
I get tired out. And so I will cook almost every day. That's because I had to travel for years with work. I just don't like eating out too much anymore. I'm going to cook. That's what I do. She eats. I end up washing the dishes, too. It happens. A few years ago, I lost my job. She was still working. At the time, I was making more than her. So, of course, when I lost my job, she was making more than me. You know, I did what I could do. Nothing came about it. Started my own business. I was working from home. To this day, I still have my own business. That was 3 years ago. Just last week, I went back to a conventional job. It's a consulting job. I make my own hours, but I'm still running my own business. But for the most part, she has made more income than me. Now, I've had some months here and there where I've made more than her. But in general, you know, for the years, tax returns, things like that, yeah, she's made more money than me. And in most sense of the word, I am a Mr. Mom. I take my daughter to daycare every day, pick her up every day, change her diaper. Most nights she gives her a bath. Sometimes I will, though. Tonight she's actually giving a bath because I'm on the call. You know, that was a done deal. I just finished washing dishes, you know, in a minute, because that's what I do. And so in a lot of senses of the word, I am a Mr. Mom. Am I still the head of my household? Oh, most definitely. There's no question about that. You know, do we butt heads? Yeah. And that's the climate of the time. Women have become a lot more independent. I got with her because she was an independent woman. That's the type of woman I'm attracted to, the type of woman my mother was. You know, that's what I like. But the fact is that she liked me because of what I could bring to the table, what I could provide. And so, yeah, we do bump heads at times, but in the end, I am the man of the house. I am the masculine figure. I am the disciplinarian of our daughter. All those things fall into place. She is still the nurturer. You know, she does more of the nurturing aspect. So that connotation of the Mr. Mom is not there with me. But in other senses of the word, from the outside looking in, most people would consider me a Mr. Mom because, up until last week, I was in the house every day, all day, unless I was traveling for work or had a meeting or something like that. You know, I might have on my pajamas till noon, being here cleaning up, and then I'd get to work. That's just me. It's what I did. But then I'm also washing the car, cutting the grass, putting gas in the cars. You know, I don't like her to pump gas at all. I made sure her car is filled up, taking out the trash, all those other manly duties. But I just do it all. And, I do everything except my daughter's hair. That's it.
Man, Mr. Mom, you actually on my street because you basically said everything that I do. And the one thing I don't do is my daughter's hair. And I got two of them. And I don't even want to touch that, you know.
Right.
But, you know, everything else, you know, like you said, you know, I do have a conventional 9-to-5 or whatever, but I feel you, Mr. Mom. I thank you for being honest because, you know, my case, you know, my wife has told me that I cannot be a Mr. Mom. You know, and if I had my way, fellas, you know, I'd be, you know, at home, you know, doing, you know, what the gentleman just said. And, you know, my dream career is to be making beats. I used to do that in college, you know, but that doesn't pay the mortgage or the daycare, you know, so it's too risky, you know, for my wife to have me, you know, sitting in my pajamas, you know, till noon or up at all hours of the night, you know, making music or whatever. But, I mean, if I had my way, I'd be the next Polo de Don or something. But, you know, that's just me. But, you know, I think it would be better, you know, that you would have some kind of income coming in. But I want to dig a little deeper. Great, great comments, fellas. You know, I want to dig a little deeper on what the two gentlemen just said. And I think it is pertinent to this call. You know, how would you feel if your wife did work and you had to stay home with the kids? I mean, what if your wife was the one that supported the whole family? You know, how would that make you feel as a man, as a head of household?
I think I'd be disappointed in myself because I don't know if I would really feel like I've exhausted every avenue, turned over every rock, counted the payment to the degree that I need to in order to make sure that I'm at least contributing something. You know, because here's the thing. I you know, even though she may be saying to me everything's okay, we're all right, you know, you're contributing this way, you know, blah, 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 I think I would view myself as a failure.
Good word.
I think that sometimes you're going to hit the jackpot and marry a rocket scientist who just going to make more money than you. I mean, it is what it is. She could be a partner at a law firm. You know what I mean? And I think that, just like the other person just said about his situation, they have an arrangement. And I think in marriage, an arrangement is good. We are still the head of the household because we still have say and we're still responsible. But delegation is not a crime either. And if she's delegated to do certain things and you're delegated to do certain things, but you still have an arrangement where it's suitable for the family, I don't think that it's really that big of an issue if she makes more money than you. I think the problem is that sometimes we let our pride get in the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we actually are looking for successful women, I would hope.
Absolutely.
You know, because that makes the pot that just more sweeter. And if she's a rocket scientist, so be it. And if she's making double what you make, so be it. You still got to handle your business.
Yes, good words, Tony. That's actually, you know, where I was just heading that direction because, I mean, fellas, I mean, the reality is what if your wife has better long-term career options and or a better benefits package than you do? You know, after the kids are born, what if she prefer you to stay home and not her? I mean, how would that affect your ego? How would that affect your ego? She said, you know what? You know, I'm about to be partner. I'm about to make partner. You know, I'm about to get, you know, this next degree or whatever the case. You know, I've got these, you know, my career ladder is on par, and I really can't stay at home. I mean, how would that affect your ego if she said, you stay home? You need to stay home. You make less money than me. I'll support this family. How would that affect your ego, fellas?
Well, I hope she wouldn't say it like that, because that would definitely just stomp on an ego.
I don't know, man. I would probably still be working. Say, you know, do you do? But I still can't. It's hard for me to right now work from home. And I get paid every day. I'd rather go into the office.
So you have trouble just sitting at home doing the same work that you can do in the office at home?
Right. I got trouble sitting because you got so much freedom.
Yeah. I feel you on that.
It gets boring.
I feel
and
you.
Rodney, yeah. You got to be careful, man, because I know some people that just went straight deadbeat. You know what I mean? Their wives are getting it, and they just said, well, you know what? I'm just going to chill, and I'm going to start this new adventure. You know, and they're always with inventions. While their wives, I know several people like that, actually, where their wives are bringing home a steady paycheck and they're chasing dreams because they know that, you know, push come to shove, she's going to pay the bills. I think that at that particular time, it can't really be accepted. You know what I mean? But if you're out there working and she's making more money than you, but you are bringing something in, I think that you're still the head of household. It just comes to the point when you're not doing anything. and she's bringing all the money in. I think that's when you pretty much lose your crown.
I'm going to take it a step further than that. I would say that under no circumstance, you know, should there really ever be a case where the man, is not bringing enough income in, regardless of what the wife's particular income is, you know, to support his family. And I think all the bills in your house, you know, all the expenses, essentially, I think it should be the man's goal. Even if you're not there yet, because like my man said, ain't nothing wrong with delegation, but I think your goal, essentially, over the long haul should be to be the primary, you know, financial provider or supporter for your family. Anything short of that, in my opinion, at least, you know, from what my pastor tells me, you know, I would feel inadequate. So, you know, hey, if my wife is bringing in $200,000-$300,000 a year, oh, that's all well and good. You know what I mean? I'm not going to feel less of a man if I'm trying my best or if I'm doing everything I can. But, you know, essentially, I think I should always aspire, despite what my wife's income is, to, you know, be bringing in enough money to support my entire family, support all my bills, so that, you know, if my wife doesn't make a dime, we still all right.
But is it all about the money, though?
No, but, I mean, let's be honest, though. A good amount of it is. But, no,
okay.
it's not all about the money.
Yeah, because I honestly think that that's a man thing. And,
that's a woman thing, too.
I'm with y'all 100% on this one. But I also think that if you ask that woman, honey, do you want me to go out and make as much money as you? I mean, you know, I'm going to go out and take two or three more jobs, find a way to make as much money as you so I can match your income. Or would you like for me to be more supportive of you while you get this money? You know what I mean? I think there's certain things that a woman might want that might not have a dollar figure on it. I think that our pride gets in the way a lot of times where we think, okay, well, we need to be making this. We need to be clocking these dollars more than her. But if you got a cash cow, you got to make sure that cash cow is happy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to make sure that cash cow is going out getting
man.
That money and coming back in happy to see you happy, you know, that you there, you taking a lunch, you doing that man's job.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? I think that they want a little bit more than that cash because they already got the cash.
Right. But
they
the
don't
problem
need
with
your
that,
money.
Though, is cash cow's got a bunch of friends, that cash family members, that cash cow's got a daddy that's probably still alive. Doing things that are trying to contribute or at least try to remotely try to match it, it's going to be a problem. Because the pride, I think for some men, yes, pride would get in the way and say, yeah, you know, I need to get out there, do this, that, and the other. But there are some women that will probably say, you know, I'm not worried about that. Just be here to do this, blah, blah. It doesn't matter to me. But the fact is that those girlfriends, it does matter too. And those family members, sisters, brothers, mother and father, that does matter to you. Because think about it. Okay, I don't know if this is a monkey race related or not, but just think about it. All the men on the call that got daughters.
Mm-hmm.
When your daughter gets married one day and she's that rocket science and scientist and she's, or she's that Pat Summit head coach getting $5 million a year coaching, do you want her to be married to some man that's just at home doing nothing?
Whoops.
Just nurturing, he's just nurturing the kids. And I would have a hard time talking to him.
I gotta agree with you.
Look, you can drive a play or something. I mean, can you get water for the girls on the bench? Something.
Yeah. You got to be working, man. You got to be bringing something in.
You got to be bringing something to the table.
Even though you couldn't do the laundry for the team after they got back from the trip?
I don't care if you working at the Home Depot. You got to be bringing something to the table. I'm not asking you if I'm...
Hey.
I want my daughter to be a rocket scientist. I mean, you know, I want her to be at that level, a lawyer. But I don't want her to be with another lawyer who's beating the crap out of her. I wouldn't mind if you worked at Home Depot and you took care of my daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I want for my daughter. I don't, you know, cause I
feel like this. If Stedman can work, I can work.
Yeah.
Stedman can work, I can work.
Stedman can work, I can work. That's good. That's good. But I, I great comments. I want to touch on that pride issue a little more that Mr. Hawkins brought up. And, you know, it's the expense of daycare, fellas. The expense of daycare. We're swallowing your pride and staying at home. Because I pulled out my tax returns that I did in February, and I had to look at it for this call. And I have two girls, 6 and 2, and dropped about $16,000 last year in daycare expenses. And thank God I was able to, you know, pay every penny. But this is economics 101, fellas. I mean, it's simply the cost of living these days. I mean, the price of daycare means for you to get a job, you have to earn a specific amount of money in order to pay for that daycare. And on top of that, you need to earn additional funds in order to justify having the job in the first place. You know, so, I mean, I want to get to that pride. Is it worth swallowing your pride when, you know, the daycare, you have a new baby, and they'll be like, yeah, that'll be $250 a week? You know, and that's for those in the D.C. area, that's pretty normal, you know, $1,000 a
yeah.
month.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely it is. I think the brother that was speaking earlier that came from the old school who was saying that the term is outdated, he's right on track. This is a different world, and especially in this area that we're in, being one of the highest cost of living in the United States, is you have to have a different mindset. You got to swallow your pride about some things, even down to the car you drive. You got to swallow your pride about a lot of things in order to be an efficient head of household. And being an efficient head of household might mean making some decisions like, look, babe, your hours are a lot worse than mine. We can save some money with the daycare. You know, I can stay at home. I can watch the kids some days so we can get this thing right. Because if you don't, you let your pride get in the way, you are not being the head of the household. When you're taken away from your, that is not being a provider.
Wow. Good words, man. Good words.
Great words. Great words. Anybody else? I know it's a lot of people on the line. Anybody else want to get in on here?
Good evening, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I think, you know, kind of being in this conversation, talk about this, you know, when you first into your marriage and everything, you want someone who's compatible with you, of course, emotionally, you know, physically, like that, things that you know are going to last forever, but you also want contribution. No matter if your job is, you know, I've been, you know, married to my wife, I was the one, I was the breadwinner, I brought in the most money and everything, and then here recently, she graduated college and she got her, you know, teaching position. Of course, her salary skyrocketed over top of mine. And, you know, but at the same time, she was so used to Devon being the one that's the hardworking, the one who doesn't really care about the hours, the one that says, you know what, honey, the kids are sick, you stay home, I got this. You know, the ones that say, you know what, don't worry about your hours. You know, she's that mother. She knows how to feed, you know, give the kids the medicine. It's not saying that I do not know how to do it, but at the same time, I'm going to go out, you know, I'm going to take the club, I'm going to go kill, I'm going to do the hunting, and I'm going to go bring it back for the family. And, you know, if you can actually do that contribution, it doesn't really matter how much money you make. You know what I'm saying? It really, really doesn't, because now she does make more than me now. But at the same time, you know, now I have a job making a substantial amount of money, but I'm still bringing that to the table. So it's not like I swallowed my pot. I just know at the end of the day, I'm still the head of household, and I'm still contributing to that pot.
Good words. Good words.
You know, like I said, it's all about that contribution factor.
Good words, fellas. Good words. Good words. And I want to speak on that whole thing with the kids. And, you know, this may get some interesting debate, or it may not. Maybe we'll all be on the same page with this. But in order to be classified as a Mr. Mom, do you have to have kids?
I think
you have to have kids.
Yeah,
I believe absolutely. You have to have kids. Absolutely,
you can't be a mother or father without just the very definition itself.
Thank you, thank you. That was a trick question, but going into that a little bit more, is there a specific age range that the kids need to be in to justify you staying at home? Can it be 25?
25.
I gotta cook little Johnny lunch.
Hold
on, little Johnny.
Hey,
25.
At 25, they shouldn't even be at home.
Hey! Wait a minute. Our president just signed a bill that said that he's going to allow you to keep your kids on your health insurance until they're 26.
That don't mean you got to be at home, though.
Well, I should say at 25, they should want to be at home.
Okay.
And then I want to go back to the first question, you know, do you have kids in order to be considered Mr. Mom? I would say yes, because otherwise then you're just a butler.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You just whip.
So what's the cutoff for the kids then? I mean, what's the age range? When the kids turn, at what birthday party, it's like, okay, Peyton, you need to go out and get that job. You know, it's like, what birthday party is it where you need to, you know, the last one coming through, where you need to get look for a job?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is what my father told me at 18. You got two choices. You got military or college. There was no third choice.
Right.
I said, there was no go get a job choice. He's like, you're not going to be a bum out here on the street. You're either going to go get the military or you're going to go to college. Which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
How about both?
Or third is...
Or both, yeah.
You out this house. And don't turn back and look at your mama or nothing.
My mother's
you know,
the guy.
We run to mom real quick when pop talk about getting... Oh, hold on, mom, you hear what dad's saying? Nah. I'm shutting this one off right now. So that's just the way I grew up.
You know, I just thought about something, though, because if we're talking about Mr. Mom and the question, you know, the conversation came about as far as, like, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about how their fathers was and things, and I was raised in a single-family home. And how is that? What's the reflection of a mother being the provider? I mean, I know these are men talking, and we're really on the same line, but is it a problem with the mother being a provider? Because my mother was, although it was a single-family home, my mother was a provider. And the way your father told you to, you need to get a job, I mean, you're going to go to the military, you're going to go to college. My mother was the same way at 18. At 18, if you were going to college. That was my mother. My brother, he broke the rank. He went to the military. But each child that left, because I'm the baby and I watched each one of us leave, she took your bed down. She gave you she gave you pot, dishes, and dishes. And sent you on your way. Yes, she did. And each room, I watched my mother a room become a den, a dining room. You know, each room became something as you left.
Yep. How
is it for the mother? Is it the same? Why isn't it like that? Is it not okay for a man to be in the house, but it's okay for a woman to be a provider? You follow me? Like, nobody says, oh, she shouldn't be providing for her family. Mm. She needs a man.
She
got to
do what she got to do.
Yeah, she got to do what she got to do. No, nobody
well,
says she need a man now.
Correct. But that's the whole point of this phone call is to keep men inside the home, because our mothers shouldn't be a single mom and a dad.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
that's
you.
The whole point of this call is that we already know growing up that, you know, some of us grew up with single parents, you know, with our mothers handling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even as grown men, they try to step in when they can, slip you a little change here and there, you know, just so they can feel welcome.
Yeah,
but that whole thing is that father.
Yeah, but before we get off track, good words, Patrice and Simon, but did anybody ever say the age range, the cutoff, the birthday party, where you got to get
a
job?
Yeah, I said as soon as the child's born. First birthday.
First birthday.
You didn't hear me, right?
Yeah,
mine will be graduation day from college. My kids, they're welcome. As long as they're in school, and I'm talking about 4 years, we ain't talking about no professional students. I'm talking about 4 year school. Once you go to grad school or whatever, you're done. You're not. Okay, you've done enough. I've done enough.
I thought the question was, at what age is it okay not to be a Mr. Mom?
Yeah.
I thought that was a question.
Yeah. Yeah. What age do you need to, you know, if you were a Mr. Mom, what age, you know, would kids have to be? And so some say that's the day one, you know. Some say that's high
school. Well, no, no. Mine has started right now, you know. My 10 and 8 year old, they know how to cook breakfast. They clean their room up every Saturday. I ain't doing nothing. I need that bath taken out. You know, the only thing I didn't have them do, because I tried a new product and I didn't want to mess it up, is mop the floor this week. I did that myself.
So you handle
other
that.
Than that, yeah, they need to be dusting. They clean the bathrooms now. I tell my daughter, I said, don't mix these two. You only use this one, and don't shut that door. But I need the bathroom spotless. Hey. They need to know these things.
Yeah, good words, good
They need to know right now responsibility so that when they do turn their team, and I really do turn them loose, and they do go to that college, that they know how to take care of themselves when they're out there in the world.
They're not lost.
College. Right, they're not lost.
They're not lost, yeah.
They ain't got a junky room. They know how to keep their stuff, you know, kind of organized and managed.
And even before they go to college, just, you know, when they go in and spend the night over somebody's house, they represent my
exactly.
house fully.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me switch your chat, fellas. It's getting close to 10. Let me keep this thing moving. You know, I'm going to strike while the iron is hot. Could your wife actually become jealous that you get to stay home with the kids while she has to go to work every day?
Wait a minute, repeat it.
Could your wife become jealous that you get to stay home and she has to get up, hit the alarm clock, get herself together, get the hair done, get on the beltway or the highway, sit in traffic, work all day? I mean, could she get jealous as you get to stay home with the kids?
Of course.
If I can ask a question, I don't think she'll get jealous at all because, to be honest with you, a wife and a mother's job is almost never done when it comes to the kids. So she's actually probably looking for that break. You know, for that sense of trying to find her self-worth and trying to find, you know what I mean, that time to herself. So her going to work is to me, you know, my wife can say that right now. You know, she calls me. I get up and go to work at, you know, 2:30 in the morning. And I always call to check, make sure the kids is up, make sure, how the morning's going. And, you know, there's been a couple times where she's been had that meltdown, you know, because I'm dealing with a 7- and 6-year-old, you know, trying to get themselves together. You know, they know how to get ready, but some kids just don't like to get up in the morning.
Oh, man, that's some.
That's some, yeah. Yeah, but anybody else?
I would say that, yes, just as much as that does occur and she would want that time, that there will be those moments where she does become jealous because you are getting those nurturing moments, those times, those first whatevers, those conversations and things that she would probably want to have if she has friends that are stay-at-home mothers or things like that. That she's not able to get those times. So I think at some point she probably will become a little jealous because you're getting all those moments that typically a woman gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good words. And I want to share with y'all this. When I was researching for this topic, I've been working on it for about 3 or 4 weeks, but I found this very interesting. It said being too helpful can result in a resentful mom. And what that means is men involved with child care may actually hurt a woman's self-esteem. Now, truth be told, you know, as one brother mentioned earlier, more men are helping out with the child rearing these days, and a lot of them, you know, are on this show right now. But the result can be both a boon and a letdown for those super moms whose self-esteem can take a hit when paired with husbands who are savvy caregivers. And, you know, since mothers, you know, as Paige mentioned, since mothers pride themselves on being just that, mom, you know, their self-esteem can take a blow. So, I mean, mothers may feel pressure to do more, you know, caregiving to ensure the survival of their feelings, even though they may like the husband's increased participation since it lessens their burden. But, you know, while some couples have been able to find a division of the child care duties that suits them, many, many struggle to hit the right balance. And, you know, this was the most interesting part of this research. It says when mothers considered the husband a relatively incompetent caregiver, increased father-only time with the kids was unrelated to a mother's self-esteem. However, on the other hand, working mothers suffer from lower self-esteem when their husbands are involved and skillful. because those mothers may consider that it's a failure to fulfill cultural norms and expectations. You know, whereas husbands' self-esteem issues, you know, when their wives are involved and skillful, they don't, you know, that's consistent with cultural norms, as Ron mentioned earlier. That, I mean, you expect that of the mom, but, you know, you can be too helpful. You know, your wife may become resentful.
Got two examples for that.
Go ahead, brother.
First example is the last time we went in for our well visit with our daughter.
Uh-oh.
Carrying her in, we get in there, we all situated, the doctor's asking questions. You know, I'm just answering the questions, and my wife is trying to talk over top of me.
Mm.
And then, you know, they're like, all right, well, the daughter's 9 months old, you know, you need to get her down to just a diaper so we can weigh and all stuff. Well, I start taking her stuff off. My wife comes and takes over, you know, like pushes my hands out of the way. We can do that in front of the doctor and the nurse that are right here. So I've got it. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, you know. So then, of course, I just got a little frustrated. So I just stood back and I left alone. That's one example. Second example, we are walking through the airport, and I've got the baby seat, the rolling on, a book bag on my back, and she's walking so slow and just talking about how her feet are just bothering her or whatever. So I said, all right, you know, I'm just thinking I'm going to help out. I'm going to step up, do a little bit more. I go to take my daughter from her, and I say, I've got her. So I'm walking. Now, mind you, again, I've got all these things that I just named, backpack, roller bag, baby seat, and now I have the child. So she's walking for a little bit. But then after maybe about 6 or 7 gates, I guess people started looking at her just chilling, and I had all of this stuff. Literally, I'm not lying to you. In Chicago O'Hare by H6, wrestling me for this girl. And I'm just like, I'm not trying to, you know, say that you're not capable. I'm just trying to help you out. And I see that you've had a tough time. Your feet are hurting you, whatever. Yeah, I've got 55,000 pounds of stuff on my back. But whatever. Give me the 18.5-pound child. I take the child, too. You know, but what I'm saying is it goes along with what you're talking about. Because what she ended up saying to me later is I didn't like the way people were looking at me like I wasn't doing anything and I wasn't doing my job as a mom. That's what
wow.
she said. That's exactly what she said. And she said the same thing to me when we came out of the doctor's office. And I just looked at her and I was like, what are you talking about? Because on one hand, sometimes she's telling me that I don't do enough, which is insane. But then on the other hand, when I am doing stuff, she's taking shots from, I guess, cultural norms and other people's eyes and feeling that she's not up to par.
Mm, good word. Good word. Anybody else? Can anybody else follow that brother situation? That was great words. Great words.
And crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
Good words. Just staying along those same lines, you know, about the wife may feel jealous, you know, that you get to stay at home. But when it comes to disciplining the kids, you know, as a Mr. Mom, could there be struggles between you and your wife when it comes to disciplining the kids? I mean, you're the one at home with them all day and disciplining them and all that good stuff. But, you know, can that be an issue as a Mr. Mom?
If there's anything that I am good at is a discipline part. My wife is a training person. So when it comes down to, you know, having to keep the kids in line, I am top notch with that. And that she does know. So she does, you know, respecting, you know what I mean, to say, hey, you know what, you need to speak with your father about this. And then the law is laid down. When it comes to the nurturing thing, that's what I'm jealous of her about. You know what I mean? She's the one that she would talk it through with you. I'm the one, I'm straight to the point. You know, this is how it's going to be. This is what you shouldn't have done. This is what's going to happen the next time it is done. So, I mean, when it comes to the discipline factor, I mean, you know, like I said, it's about contribution. And we have that responsibility. I leave the nurturing things to her. There are some things that you can nurture as a father as far as, you know, between a son and a daughter. But there's just some things I know I'm not good at. So for us to have that balance, she knows what I'm good at, and I know what she's good at.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Discipline? Because as the children's primary caregiver, you know, a Mr. Mom could fall into the habit of correcting the wife, you know, when she comes home from work and tries to discipline the kids. You know, and Mr. Mom might overstep his boundaries by saying something like, look, you've got to do it this way. You know, and Mr. Moms have to realize that she's got to do it her way. And again, you know, those struggles over discipline can actually affect how children respond to their parents. You know, it definitely shapes the attitude towards Mr. Mom, who, again, as I mentioned, is the primary disciplinarian. But you have to make sure that it's not always the mother who picks them up and says it's going to be okay. Next question. If you had to do it temporarily or long term, could you properly manage the household? Is being a Mr. Mom easy?
No.
No. Somebody said no. You want to expound on that, brother?
Again, I just think there are some things as me being a man, as you know, if I was a Mr. Mom and a stay at home, she's been doing this since we've been married. If it came, I would have to stay home, and she was a sole provider. I don't think I could meet her standards. I just think it would be a conflict of interest as far as how I would do things at home and how she would normally do things at the house. It would probably be a combative situation. Well, you didn't screw this the right way, or you didn't do this. This is how I used to do it. So that would be a difficult transition as for me, the Mr. Mom, and me being a long-term Mr. Mom, that would be, to me, a very, very uneasy situation. Hence the reason we're not going to have any more children. Because, you know, if it came down to it, I would probably have to be the one who is staying home. You know, my position and my job, yes, it's been there for a long time coming, but, you know, just as we were speaking economics earlier, you know, there's a lot of jobs that are not promised tomorrow. And I believe her job is more secure. So if I was, you know, have to stay in that situation, I think it would be a combative situation as far as if I was be the Mr. Mom. I think it would be totally hard for me anyway.
See, I think it depends on the dynamics because I don't think my wife meets my standards. I think if I were to be here doing stuff, it would be immaculate. It would be ridiculous. Be pristine. It would be ridiculous because that's the way I do it. And here's the thing. Aside from that, I took care of my spot when I was single, probably tighter than most women out there. So I know that I would be able to do that. Now, would I want to do it long term? Probably not. But I know that I would be comfortable in making sure that I'm able to make the decisions. And I know that she would probably be all right with it as well because she knows that she might be at an 8, I'm going to be at an 11.
Mm.
She just knows that. You know, and sometimes that's backfired on me because she knows that she can just, oh, gosh, I don't know how to do it, and I'm going to come in there and sweep and do it right.
Yeah, that would make that 11. So she might as well just not even sweep up.
Exactly. And sometimes that definitely plays out in that manner. But I would say, yeah, no, I don't think it would be a problem at all. I'd be able to handle it.
Good words. So well, anybody else?
I'm currently, I guess, with some, you could call me stay-at-home dad. My wife's the breadwinner. And I'll never forget being at a party. This one, I own my own business. And you know, I had my own money coming in. And we were invited to a neighbor's party. And the discussion of stay-at-home mom came up. And at the time, I didn't understand, first and foremost, the importance of a parent staying home with a child. And I thought, and I even said so at the time, that if a parent was to stay at home with a child, and I was speaking of the mom at the time, I was saying, oh, man, that's an easy job. She ain't going to be doing nothing but sitting around watching soap operas all day. I mean, come on. You know, it ain't nothing to it. And a young lady was disagreeing with me, and her husband was co-signing for me, and you know, it was jovial at the time, but less than a year after that, for mentions not necessary, I mean, for reasons not necessary to mention, I left the company that I had started, and I was going to start another company. But in starting a company, you have to devote a lot of time, and I already had one son in daycare, and I had a second born who had just entered daycare. And, you know, we were looking at a mortgage payment for just child care each month. So I said, well, you know, let me just take the kids out, you know, and I'll do the kid thing, you know, and still try to build this business. Well, I have to tell you that, am I still on?
Yes, go ahead, bro. Yeah, just speak up just a little bit more for the so the brother can hear you.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better. Yeah, just yeah, that's good.
I have to tell you that that the stay-at-home dad thing was one of the most challenging experiences I've had in my life. I had no idea that it was such an undertaking. It requires a great deal of organization skills that I did not at the time possess. It requires a great deal of planning. Everything has to be planned out meticulously. And the better you are at planning, the more effective you are. I also learned how culturally people's perception of parenting and the importance of children being with their parents in the early years are different. Like, you know, I learned by taking the kids out to the park and getting them involved in extracurricular activities that a lot of au pairs or either stay-at-home parents place extreme value on spending that time with their children. I think culturally, certain people just realize, you know, they just stress the importance of work. So, but no, I learned a great deal. It is not at all an easy task. It's very demanding, and you never clock out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is there ever a day off from being a Mr. Mom?
No, there isn't. You know, there literally
wow.
isn't. I think I was placed in the situation because I think I had a great deal of pride, and I think I undervalued the amount of work involved. And it wasn't until I had the experience for myself that I really grew to appreciate the significance of it.
Good words, fellas. And you know, I think to the brother's point, you know, just to move this thing along here, you're going to be exhausted. You know, you're going to be exhausted. No matter how hard you think being a quote-unquote Mr. Mom is, it's harder. And some days the frustration can eat at you. No time to simply relax. And there might be times when you actually lose your temper. And as much as you love being with your children and taking care of them, I mean, you may become unhappy. And there may be moments when that unhappiness translates into anger. And I want to briefly tie this back to last week's topic. Mr. Hawkins brought us in sickness and in health. And, you know, right now as I sit here, I smell like bleach and Windex because I'm already, you know, quote-unquote a Mr. Mom. I have a day job, but I do a lot of around the home. And, you know, as the brother mentioned, it's the only thing I can't do is my daughter's hair. But literally, my wife was sick for the past couple of days, had a stomach virus, and actually my youngest brought it in the house. You know, so out of my family of four, you know, two already were taken down. And, you know, again, things had to be done. You know, I opened the refrigerator. It's like, oh, man, we don't have anything to eat. You know, the kids got to eat. You know, granted, wife wasn't too hungry, didn't have an appetite. But, you know, again, I'm sitting here, and as I sit here smelling in bleach and Windex, I'm just realizing that I never ate dinner myself. You know, I fed the kids. You know, got my wife taken care of, made sure, and I actually just, you know, I just finished disinfecting the bathroom. But, you know, literally, you know, I didn't eat, you know, and I just realized that just sitting here listening to y'all, I'm just like, wow, I'm a little hungry right now. But, you know, it's not easy, fellas, and it's, you know, as the brother said, you don't get a chance to, you know, clock out or take vacation, and, you know, when you're in that role. But, you know, mad respect, you know, to the Mr. Moms. But, you know, just to transition. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Turner, but and another thing is if you have anything that really interests you, like if you were into some type of extracurricular, I mean, like if you played flag football, you used to go play basketball with the boys, or if you used to go to the gym, or if you used to have a side hobby, or if you used to, you know, just have something for you, at least I noticed in this household, that those privileges evaporate rapidly. Because the majority of your investment goes towards, again, you know, organizing and planning everything. Like, just small stuff that I think people take for granted, just in the course of a week for a stay-at-home parent. It would involve everything from making sure that the meals are planned out, making sure that the chores of the household are done, and that's everything from grocery shopping, meal planning. Like with just meal planning alone, you have to make the plan for the meal. Then you have to shop according to the plan. Then you have to come back, prepare food, and preparation like dicing the food, and it's totally different from actually cooking it. You know, and then that's, you know, you have to consider that for three meals, at least for an entire family for an entire week. So that's just that work. And then you have to talk about the laundry, and then you have to talk about the bathroom, keeping the kitchen clean, keeping other parts of the house clean, keeping the bedroom done. So it's, you know, and that's not even mentioning cleaning the cars, keeping the cars clean. You know, and I'll be a lie to say I do it meticulously. I met a stay-at-home mom who does it way, way better than I do. But I think that it's made me a better person. By having to do it.
And, brother, I think you were the one that told us about the socks. And I haven't used that, but, you know, go to Staples and get the little binder clips if you got multiple kids and clip their socks together before you throw them in the wash or before you throw them in the hamper. You know, have them clipped together or as you're pulling them out. That way, when you wash them and dry them, you got two pair of socks instead of digging, you know, through T-shirts and boxes and everything else trying to find that other little
kid. If you can get every member in the household to do it before they put their socks in the hamper, before they even go in the hamper, as soon as you take your socks off, clip them together.
Yeah.
And then just have them stay clipped together until they come out, man, you save yourself so much time.
Yeah, that's what's up. Speaking truthfully by Mr. Mon. Thank you, sir. Just moving along here. You know, with all that, what the brother said and what he mentioned, would it be difficult, you know, to make the transition, you know, when it's time for, you know, you to get back into the workforce? You know, you've been a Mr. Mom. I mean, you know, could being a Mr. Mom actually enhance your skill set for the workforce?
It depends on what your job is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I believe personally if you work the type of job where you have to have deadlines or you work according to your deadlines, and if you work with a job based on schedules, I think that being a stay-at-home parent would definitely benefit you if you were good at that job. I definitely think that it gives you, it depends on the age of the children, but I definitely think it gives you leadership skills. It gives you a greater sense of patience. Because if you can work around, you know, children, if you can manage the behavior of children, and if you can resolve situations pertaining to children on a regular basis, I believe that prepares you for being able to do that, the same in an environment with adults. You know, it prepares you for problem solving and problem resolution and dealing also with different personalities. I think it also gives you a certain level of patience and consideration for the thoughts and feelings of others. Believe it or not, I mean, I believe that for myself. Because
Mr. Mom looks good when listed on a resume.
Well, maybe not to an employer. I mean, he might not to an employer, but I know if I were in a position, based on this experience, if I were in a position to hire, I would realize that if someone was competent at being a stay-at-home parent, I would realize the potential of them being a very good employed. Because another thing that happens, too, is that stay-at-home parents encounter things similar to what you encounter, where you have a certain workflow and you have a certain schedule, and then the baby brings in a stomach virus. And then it's like, wow. So, you know, but you have to figure out how to properly care for the baby as well as manage everything that's still going on. So, again, that gets you prepared for certain workflows. You learn how to work, you know, you learn how to work on the go and change and solve problems that arise, you know, when they come. You're prepared to continue working, not be paralyzed by the problem, as well as to continue problem solving, even though unexpected things have come on to the job. So, you know, all those type of things I'm aware of from this position. I don't know if an employer would be aware of them, but.
Yeah, good words. But, you know, like you say, you got to learn how to manage. And, you know, in my case, you know, this is true to, you know, this on my street tonight, because I'm like, well, I can't go down, you know, because then the whole house will go down. You know, the kids sick, parents sick, everything go down. But, you know, good words. And I want to ask this question. You know, if you were in that Mr. Mom situation, and, you know, maybe there's some of the brothers who are or have been, you can answer this, but would you start to socialize more with the housewives in your neighborhood, or would your socialization with other adults become more limited? Or did you start to socialize with the housewives in your neighborhood?
Well, I don't think that, well, again, I'm not speaking from experience with this, but I don't know if my socialization with other housewives will become more prevalent or more so than it has been, because, again, I'm still a man who's married to a woman. So I don't know if my wife is going to appreciate the fact that now all of a sudden, whether it's because we're talking about diaper rash or the new talcum powder may be or a new size petty pad shoe or whatever it is. Sales are at Target on Similac. You know, I don't know if my wife's going to be excited about me now having these conversations and basically every day having lunch and play dates with women. You know, because I know I'm just thinking about, you know, it may be good at first, where she's like, oh, that's great, you know, you're doing things. But after a while, jealousy may creep in and be like, wait a minute. These other women are seeing that my husband is doing all these great things for kids. He is on, because remember, I'm now Mr. Mom. Now, that doesn't mean that these women's husbands are doing the same thing that I'm doing, and I may be attracted to them in some capacity because I'm doing all this stuff. I'm on board. I know it. I'm able to sit down now and talk to them about, and it's crazy, because really you have now gotten a new door open into the life of a woman, and they'll look at you like, wow, I can talk to this man about all these things that I can't talk about to my husband when he comes home.
Wow.
When you're sitting there at, I don't know, at the sandbox talking about the new juice box that came out and how it's actually not positive because it came out on CNN that they recalled them, and these are things that she wanted to talk to her husband about, you might have some women starting to flirt with you now on a different level, and of course you're not seeing it because you're just like, well, I'm Mr. Mom, I'm at home, you know, these are my colleagues now, you know, this is what I do.
you know, what I was talking about, you know, with the other adults, socialization, you know, I was talking about shrinking vocabulary syndrome, you know, especially when you have, you know, a baby at home. I mean, spending every day with little kids or a baby may cause you to want to, you know, get back into the real world. And, you know, when you realize you're speaking in baby talk or humming Barney tunes, you know, you start to crave some adult interaction. And I know I find myself watching cartoons when the kids are asleep or not even around. But, you know, but back to your point, you know, here's something, you know, I want to ask y'all. And as a Mr. Mom, would you be considered more or less attractive to other women? I mean, the brother was talking about, you know, he'd be able to sit down at the picnic table at the park and talk about, you know, the Similac on sale at Target. And, I mean, could that new level of socialization with the neighborhood housewives actually create problems in your relationship?
Man, you're going to be hot to death. I'm just trying to think. You will, like I said, I'm not speaking from experience, but I just think that you will open up a whole new dimension. Could you imagine you at a dinner party and you're able to sit there and you over in the corner and you know, and it's not like you're trying to mac. You just, girl, this is what you need to do to get that stain out. Okay? You're just dropping science on them, and they're like, wow, I would love to be able to talk to my husband about this stuff, but he doesn't have time for me for that.
I didn't witness that. I mean, well, my whole experience. I remember going to Moga Mom things. I remember going to parks. I remember meeting au pairs and nannies and going to the library where everybody meets. I didn't really have engagement with anyone that was outside of taking care of the kids, you know, or finding out what things there are, you know, out there for kids, you know, what programs and, you know, where to meet up and how the kids play. And I guess it's amazing, just like you guys work, you know, you guys probably work in environments where there are women, you know, and just because there are women there doesn't mean that you have, you know, any interaction with them on a personal level or beyond the level of professionalism. And that's what I kind of witnessed. It was almost like professional dialogue that was, you know, again, discussing not just the children but also managing the workflow of the home, you know. And then how to try to find resources on how to be, you know, better at it, you know. And it is true that you do desire to have, I mean, back to the point of wanting to have more adult conversations, you know, that is very true because everything is about the kids and, you know, and responsibilities of the household all the time, you know, and it's refreshing to, you know, engage in dialogue similar to this one. So,
we're here every Tuesday, bro.
Huh?
I say we're here every Tuesday.
Exactly. So, you know, so that's refreshing. But as far as interacting with women, I guess someone could find it impressive that, you know, you kind of can commiserate with the things that they experience as stay-at-home moms, but I don't think that at least for me, it wasn't alluring. You know, I don't know if it was for another woman, but for me, it wasn't like, you know, you looking hot over there breastfeeding, let me holler at you. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, because, you know, brother, I mean, you actually, you know, from what my research did also found, you know, just working on this topic, is that, you know, there are some play groups that won't even, you know, allow Mr. Moms to participate. I mean, they kind of shun them. And, you know, in your case, you know, exactly, you know, what I found is that, generally speaking, other moms don't really talk to Mr. Moms. I mean, they kind of ignore them. I mean, how do you plan play dates and parties as a Mr. Mom? I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of difficult.
What you do is, you know, you find a park that all the au pairs, nannies, and stay-at-home moms go to. Like I said, it's all about schedules. So what would happen is, you know, I can kind of remember the schedule I had one of my sons on. Mondays and Wednesdays at the local library, they would have story time. So, you know, they have it at 10. So at 10 o'clock at the local library, all the stay-at-home moms, au pairs come out, and they sing songs and dance and read a story to the kids. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like a daycare environment where your children get an opportunity to interact with other children. They get to watch one instructor read a book to them, and they sing the same song. So that's on Mondays and Wednesdays. Then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or either right after the library, the same group of parents would go to a local park, and all the kids would play at the park. And then while there, you have the opportunity to schedule what's called play dates. And I don't get into play dates because from the culture I'm from, a friend is a friend. You know, so if you know the Johnsons and they got kids around your kids' age, you go over to the Johnsons and your kids play, and the Johnsons come over to your house and your kids play. So the whole scheduling of a play date concept, I didn't get into because it seemed like your friends in that scenario were temporary and they were optional. You know, and I like the idea of friendship being friendship. You know, so,
good words.
But that's pretty much how it worked. It's not like you're shunned. It's like, you know, you just get on board other people's schedules. You know,
right.
And then sometimes they get organized to the point where they have a schedule. Planned play dates and co-ops where you meet at recreation centers, and you know, it's the same kids, and then the same parents organize and they say, well, what school are we going to send our kids to? You know, and then they choose charter schools, or they'll choose private schools, or they choose, you know, whatever local school that they all favor, that they think is best for their children.
Yeah, good word.
So I learned a lot from this process, man. I mean, I learned so much. I learned about how, I mean, I talked to one European family who purposely went into $25,000 worth of credit card debt so the mother could stay home with the child.
Wow.
They literally planned to go into debt because they recognized the significance of a parent staying home with children. And I really did not appreciate it as much as I've learned to appreciate it, because it is a significant difference. I mean, it's a significant difference. I've actually seen the different qualities of daycare that children are provided, and if you knew who you were leaving your children with, you might go into $25,000 in debt.
Wow.
Staying home with them.
Let me drop this on y'all. Do you think that women are happier being married to Mr. Mom? Are women happier being married to Mr. Mom?
No.
Who said no? Patrice said no. All right, bye, Patrice. Go ahead.
I think all women expect, I mean, they follow the women's rule, you know, womanhood book to the key. Is that they want a man who, regardless of what position he is money-wise, to be the head of household.
Right.
Take charge.
But wait now. You don't think a husband's caregiving is linked to the wife's marital satisfaction?
No, because
women enjoy that, but that's their job. They don't want you. I think Peyton might have said it best. They feel uncomfortable when you take it over too much.
Yep. And you got to think back to when they're playing Barbie and Ken or whatever the dolls are nowadays. I don't know. My daughter's not there yet. But when they're playing those games, they're not saying, "Ah, you stay at home today and I'm going to go make money." They're not playing that. They're playing going out and doing something.
And can I say that you can see on Mr. Mom's family now, to me, because the mothers have control of how the children's dress, how they wear their hair, you can see the change. You can see the men giving up some of their responsibilities. I was growing up, your hair was trim, tight, you know, there's no sagging pants. Now, because the trend says it's okay, now the mother or father says it's okay. I see a lot of kids. I don't understand why a boy needs an earring in his ear, and he's 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
Or he's going through. That's just me. Okay, kids are getting, teenagers are getting tattoos anywhere they want. butterflies right on the back, then they wear his shirt, and it's okay at the household.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that it's because we have more Mr. Moms than we used to. That's just me. I could be. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. You know,
I don't think that's a Mr. Mom thing with guys getting more earrings.
Okay.
I think it's the absence of dads that might be leading to that.
I see that's in two parents' homes. Because my question, and I had a monkey wrench, but I was going to wait a few seconds because I think this is right where it's going, is can you be among Mr. Mom outside the home? Because kids run by action. They learn by sight. And if they say daddy doing motherly things all the time, and weak at doing manly things.
Here's the thing, and I'm glad you said that. That's awesome that you said that. The dynamic of Mr. Mom, and I guess it's the topic that's kind of skewing the perception of the responsibility, because it's actually Mr. Dad, you know. And I'm saying that to say that my boys are watching me drop them off at school, make meal plans, but they're also watching Daddy work with their Uncle Nehemiah to convert the previous house that they used to stay in into a rental property. So they're watching their dad also do something that's beneficial to the family that isn't what someone would consider, you know, a typical mommy responsibility.
Yeah, and
they've also had the opportunity, and this is very important, to witness dad volunteer on the local basketball team and play with the kids at the gym. They've also had time to spend with dad going out and getting them athletic equipment, be it soccer, be it tennis, be it swimming, be it basketball, or be it golf, and take them out to enjoy all of those opportunities and let them start developing those skills that other children might not have the opportunity to do. So the involvement with the children is not just feminine. It's an opportunity to be more engaged with the day-to-day activities of the child. Be that male or female children. You basically get to expose them to more. They get more opportunity that they definitely wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Yeah, and I want to speak on that real quick. We're getting close to shutdown time, and I'm going to shut it down. Is there a stigma in society that men can't be an effective parent, much less a stay-at-home parent? I mean, will people think that you're a slacker by choosing to stay at home?
Oh, yeah, stigma exists.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's based on lack of experience. I know based on my culture, you know, being an African American, the history of our people, be it male or female, has been that of work. That's what we were brought to this country to do, is to work. We spent, and this is what a lot of people have forgotten or lost the history of, we spent a great portion of our lives rearing not just our children, but other people's children. That's another thing that I saw as a stay-at-home dad. You will see African au pairs, Jamaican au pairs, and you'll see a lot of Latino au pairs right now, or nannies, okay? But historically, all of those were black women, you know, who were taking care of white kids. So the whole stigma of staying at home and taking care of your children now is that, oh, you're not working. You know, you're not. Well, you are working, but you're working for the benefits of the child and for the benefit of the family. It used to be okay when you were getting paid to do that for other people's family and other people's children. So I think if people become educated and they really start to see the history of this country and how cultures grew from that history, they'll develop a different understanding. But I understand the stigma.
Yeah, and, you know, the perceptions that men aren't capable of nurturing are just flat out wrong, because there's nothing a mother can do that a father can't do except for breastfeed. And, you know, I
disagree with that entirely. Okay. I think that it's very important to realize that God gave us larger muscles for a reason. And with those larger muscles, we are able to do tangible things like lift heavier weights, like carry larger bags through airports. But I also believe that the same way God gave us that tangible strength to do something that a woman can't do, He's given them maybe an intangible strength to do things that we can't do or do things better than us. I honestly believe that.
I agree with you to say, you know, I think that mothers do possess some instincts that fathers can never duplicate, like mom radar,
right,
when the kids wake up in
right.
the middle of the night, you know, stuff like
right.
that. You know,
I've witnessed it. I witnessed my sister hear her children upstairs, you know, on a totally different level and know exactly what they were doing. And I'm talking about a house party. She could hear what her children. I didn't hear nothing. But outside of just that, I'd like to say that, you know, if a man is the sun and a woman is the moon, this is just an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moon is given a responsibility, you know, to help raise the tides, you know, to help change the tides and illuminate the night, you know, and the sun is given a different responsibility. So, you know, the sun is given a responsibility of holding the solar system in order and warming the earth and giving daylight. So,
you know,
what I think is,
Rodney, I think it was Rodney that said it earlier in the show. This is my first time saying anything. I've just been listening. Rodney said it. I think he said it earlier in the show that his wife was sick and his daughter was sick. Brought the infection into the house, and you contributed by doing the things that you deem necessary to do, you know, as in helping your wife. I really believe, you know, wholeheartedly that sometimes as men, when we have to take on the role of a Mr. Mom, that sometimes women view us as being weak as men. And I really believe that, because it all also depends on, you know, what kind of woman, you know, you have in your life. Because basically I can say my wife is the type of person that that had her parents around her all of her life. And it was a lot of things that I didn't have in my life that I couldn't bring to the table that she had witnessed in her life, you know. So, you know, for me to be a particular way with her, or not bring particular attributes to the table, it wasn't a good thing, you know. So I guess it all depends on who and who that person has been dealing with in their life also, as far as Mr. Mom is concerned. You know, whereas my wife, she asked me to stop working and to finish my doctorate of divinity, right? But personally speaking, as a man, I've always seen it, you know, somebody said something about pride earlier, you know, it was a pride issue for me, because, you know, I've always worked all of my life, you know, and I would not have felt comfortable going to school while she went to work.
Good words. And, you know, to that point, speaking of pride, what if your son grew up to be a Mr. Mom?
Oh, I don't think so, because he just gave me the blues for being on a call with all men just now. Yeah, he just gave me the blues. He said, Dad, here it is, the middle of the night. You sitting on the phone with all men. What's up?
That's crazy. That's crazy. But, you know, it's good point. And I want to, you know, make sure, you know, we close this thing down. And, you know, we're getting very close to my multiple conclusions here. But, you know, here's the question, you know, 10:40 in the evening. Can a Mr. Mom be an effective household? I think that we've all agreed that absolutely yes. As a Mr. Mom, stay-at-home dad, you know, whatever you want to call it, you already have a job. You know, sure, the pay stinks, but the benefits can far outweigh the pay. But tying this thing back to my man Patrice's topic 2 weeks ago, which I like to do, he spoke on communication. And, you know, if you lack that communication, you know, what can happen? And could a divorce thrust you into becoming a Mr. Mom, at minimum on a part-time basis? You know, usually, you know, today, you know, you may be married, but situations may change, and you may have the kids half the week or half the month or half the summer or whatever, and you're doing all these things that the brothers were talking about, you know.
Hey, can I say something to that? But it's a little bit different, though, right? I mean, I don't want to take up too much of our time on this, but here's a different scenario. My brother-in-law, he was forced into becoming a Mr. Mom, okay, because his wife passed away like 6 years ago. And ever since he's taken over being the mother and the father to his son, his son has become very weak, man, independent. You know, he can't move without his father. He can't do anything without his father. He whines and cries and acts like a little girl, almost as if, and his father just continually baby him, almost just because he was a premature child. So I don't know how that really works, man, because, man, he's done a horrible job, man, personally. You know,
would you say had to happen to his wife?
So she passed away. She had juvenile diabetes. She died like 37.
Exactly.
You know?
And that was my next, you know, that was conclusion number two, is that what if your wife died suddenly and unexpectedly and you were literally thrust into being, you know, Mr. Mom almost overnight, you know, and, you know, that's real according to what Brian just said. But, I mean, last I checked, fellas, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, so after the funeral's over and your tears have dried up, you know, all the extended family has left, who's going to cook the dinner? That'd be you, Mr. Mom. You know, who's going to clean the bathrooms? Oh, that'd be you, Mr. Mom. Who's going to mop the kitchen floor? Who's going to do your daughter's hair? Who's going to help with the homework, the science fair projects, go to parent-teacher meetings? That'd be you, Mr. Mom. Who's going to take the kids to soccer practice or football practice or piano lessons or ballet or church? That's all you, Mr. Mom. And on top of all that, you still have to cut the grass, take out the trash, wash the car, get the oil changed. Outside of still having to get up, get the kids up, off to school, and get yourself to work every day. So, you know, we talk about death and divorce. You know, we already know that the divorce rate is around 50%, fellas. We already know that. One out of every two marriages will fail. But what we don't realize, and another thing that, you know, as we talked about last week with in sickness and in health, going right over our heads when we're saying our marriage vows, but also till death do us part goes right over our heads, because roughly 10 to 15% of men in the U.S. today are widowed. So what that means, we've got about 11 callers right now. One of y'all may lose your wife, God forbid. But that's a reality. 10 to 15% of men right now today are widowed. They lost their wife, as in the example that Brian just gave us. So, you know, you know, some of these things are really, I mean, you really have to think about, you know, from that standpoint, you know, because it could happen. And it could affect, you know, one of us right on this line right now.
I think there's a flip side to that, too, though.
Go ahead.
And the flip side that I think to it is, just like somebody said earlier, times have changed a lot. Our wives are working, gainfully employed, got their own money, their own life, et cetera, et cetera. So that puts us in a situation where now we have to do Mr. Mom activities. We have to do these things that they've been doing for years. You know, so most of us are already in the game. We're doing the hair. We're, you know, getting ready for school. We're doing homework. We're soccer practice, ballet, all of that stuff. You know, so if, I don't think that, I mean, hopefully, if we are on top of our job like that now, it won't be a traumatic transformation that has to happen if we were to lose our wives. I think that we need to be in a situation now where we're already prepping ourselves for, you know, the worst that could happen.
And, Tony, let me ask you this, just on that same, you just write, you know, where we need to be this evening, but thinking on what you just said, can being a Mr. Mom actually help you to become a more effective household? And what I mean by that is, can a Mr. Mom actually help, you know, being a Mr. Mom actually help you to better relate to your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it could also, you know, backfire on you, too.
Sure, sure.
You know, it could also be detrimental as well, because you only want to let them know how much you can do. But, I mean, you only want to show them but so much.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I mean, because they're going to ride the wave. They're going to milk you to death. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got to, you have to ration that thing, man, because a lot of times, you know, women can be lazy, too. And we've said that before on the call, too. Women can be lazy.
I'm going to tell you honestly, as a stay-at-home dad, I don't think it's natural. It doesn't feel right to me. I'm doing it. I've learned a lot from it. I'm glad I had this opportunity. But I tell you honestly, I feel like, and it might sound crazy, I would rather my wife be here with four or five other women taking care of the kids while I'm out with y'all building something.
I agree with that.
I think the society, that whole feminist movement and a woman can do what a man can do movement,
that's bull.
I think it's disgusting, you know. And I think that take nothing away from the sisters. They've gone out here and they've learned from the slogan of their mom and their grandparents, girl, don't depend on no man, go get your own. You can always get a man to have babies. That whole doctrine of destruction has made women gone out and they're trying to do everything on their own. So they get good paying jobs and they build careers and you know, but you know, I don't think that no one gave them the instruction on how to be, how to fit in being a good mom and a good wife as a priority. So, I think the structure and the direction that it's going is deplorable. I think that God intended children to be close to mothers, especially shortly after birth. If he did not intend that, then he would not have made it necessary for that mom to feed that child from her chest. You know, we can't do that. I mean,
and to follow up on what he's saying, the major deception right now is that you have so many women trying to portray the image of being a man.
Yeah, what a man can do.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Whatever man can do, I can do.
Yeah.
I can make $100K.
Yeah.
I can get my own house. I can get my own car.
Absolutely.
I can do my own thing.
How did it get to that point, though? But how did it get to that point? I mean, think about it. What's the underlying issue? Somewhere we have dropped the ball. For a woman to feel as though that she has got to take on our responsibility and assume our roles, somewhere we have dropped the ball.
I don't agree with that, man. And the reason I don't agree with that is because think about it like this. As a man in the workplace, okay, the likelihood of us obtaining and getting the same job that they're getting today are not that likely because of the way the black man has portrayed himself in the work field for years and not pursuing degrees and things that can that can elevate them, but the ones that do get there are up there and getting paid. But
okay.
the overall, you know, in general, most women are more educated, and we must be honest with that about that.
I honestly believe in tying in with that. I have learned that, you know, if you want to be honest about America, opportunities have been offered to one group of men in a greater quantity and in a greater concentration than they have to another group of men. So if those opportunities are growing to another group, then that group is better equipped to take care of his family. Now, if you really want to hurt a community that you consider that threatens you, and this is just the history of America. I'm speaking to the history of America. One of the first things you want to do to weaken that community is to attack the male. So if you look at the history even of the, quote, welfare system in this country.
Take the man out of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was shocking to me to learn about it even as a child. I could tell you a personal account of a young lady who had three daughters, and she went to apply for public assistance. And the lady started talking about all the stuff she was about to give her food, rent voucher. She was about to give her full medical coverage for her and all her kids. She had everything lined up. And then the girl said, well, something to the effect that my husband is going to be so happy to hear this. Guess what the lady said as soon as she found out that the girl had a husband?
You're ineligible.
You are eligible for all the stuff I just said I could give. Now, what was sad is that they were homeless and sleeping in the car in Michigan. This is a family of five. And the husband, he died shortly thereafter. I think the stress of the whole situation was overwhelming for them. So, for people to – now, I'm not one to advocate excuses, and I don't believe in blaming another group of people for my problems or my woes. But I do want to be honest about the history of this country, and you have to be honest about the employment opportunities, the education opportunities that were offered one group versus another. They have an impact on our culture. They have an impact on our society. America at one point isolated Native Americans and African Americans out of her core of opportunities.
Yeah, what I try to teach my kids, you know, just along that same line, but, you know, I always come back, you know, if God before you is better than the world against you. You know, that's what we, you know, live and you know, that's what we preach. And, you know, that's what it has to boil down to. But, you know, getting back to, you know, my question, absolutely, you know, being a Mr. Mom can help you to become a more effective head of household because, you know, being a Mr. Mom, you have to realize that you have a job to do and do it to the best of your ability, fellas. I mean, making sure that your kids are well taken care of, fed, clothed properly, making sure the dishes are clean and put away and the house is neat, making sure that dinner is cooked or started prior to your wife's return home. And, you know, let me tell you something. You know, you're not a Mr. Mom, as the fellas already mentioned. You already were on my conclusion. You're simply dad. You're not acting as their surrogate mom. I mean, you're their father. It's your job as a parent, too. You know, I think another brother said, you know, start being a dad early, you know, by going to her monthly OB checkups while she's pregnant with your child. You know, of course, if your schedule permits. But, you know, we have to think about the possibility of our wife not being around anymore as a result of death or divorce. And, you know, God forbid, you know, I mean, we have to have a better appreciation for all the things that our wife does to keep your household running smoothly. And, you know, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So, I mean, if you're Mr. Mom, you know, let's try harder, you know, to stop taking her for granted. And or maybe, you know, even still, as the brother said, that, you know, try walking in her shoes because you'll find that it's very difficult. Anybody else want to add any closing comments? We're at that time. We're going to shift gears here. Did I miss anything, miss anybody? Now's your time to speak.
I just want to throw something out there real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm the one that said, you know, in some senses of the word, I'm a Mr. Mom earlier in the conversation. What's interesting is the fact that you just mentioned going to a monthly OB check. I just did that this morning. You know, heard my child's heartbeat and everything. We don't know the sex yet, but just did that this morning. That was pretty interesting that you just mentioned that.
Hey, man, that's what's up. This is God's call, man, you know.
It definitely is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also from a standpoint of cultural views, it's interesting to note that my wife is West African.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother just, whenever she comes to visit, it drives her crazy. it drives her crazy the way that we are. But it is what it is. And
how so, brother, for the brothers that may have got on late? How does it drive her crazy?
Because of the fact that I clean and cook and do all the things that she feels that a man should not do. She tries to urge my wife to do those things. And not that she doesn't cook, she doesn't clean. She just doesn't do it as often as me. And my favorite meal for her to cook is hamburgers. I love the way she makes hamburgers. And that really ticks her mother off. She thinks, no, I need a full meal. You know, all this goat and rice and stew and all this other stuff jumping off. And I'm like, no, I want that big, greasy burger with the mushrooms and peppers and bacon and onions falling off.
Stop.
Yeah, because I hate Ethan, brother, so I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to eat before I lay down. But, you know, good words.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there to everybody. I mean, cultural aspects do come into the picture, but with the way society is evolving and developing, I mean, she spent most of her life in Europe and here in the U.S. Even though that cultural aspect is there, you know, things are changing in our society. And, you know, we can still be men, but change with them for the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here, get out of y'all's way, and give y'all some pros and cons to being a stay-at-home dad. You know, number one, you're your own boss, kind of, you know. You do report directly to someone, but that someone is your child, you know, who lights up your soul just by grinning. But as somebody else mentioned, you'll witness the big moments. You know, there'll be a lot of milestones that you'll be there for. So, you know, take that in consideration. You'll ease the pressure on your better half. Being home helps take the pressure off mom, allowing her to continue her career at that critical juncture or to finish recuperating after pregnancy or unfreeze that gym membership or whatever the case may be. A couple more pros are getting to know your child as a person with habits and preferences carries with it a uniqueness all its own. And you form that wonderful bond. And you also have, you know, that guilt-free guy time. You know, being home with the child during the day, you know, means not feeling guilty about, you know, researching your fantasy football pool or something like that. But, you know, with that, you know, with some more tips is just, you know, if you do decide to assume that role, fellas, you know, just keep these things in mind. You know, stay at home isn't meant to be taken literally. You know, schedule activities during the week to break up the routine of the playtime, feeding, naps. You know, that will prove healthy for you in the long run. And don't, you know, try to be Superman. You know, do yourself and child a favor by taking the, you know, occasional bit of assistance. And don't hog all the glory. You know, being a primary caregiver gives you the pleasure of observing changes, reporting those hilarious moments, or, you know, just gushing about that growing connection to your child. And encourage your wife to have her own time with the children and remind her how much your child anticipates her arrival at the end of the day. And finally, take your role seriously, fellas. It's a job. It's a job. And it demands study, concentration, and the commitment, you know, to do the right thing. And children are like a assignment at work. But, you know, this project will be one of the most important ones that you'll ever be assigned. So with that,
you are now free to move about the country.
Go ahead and shut this thing down, and we'll roll over into our open mic segment. And for those that don't know, the open mic segment is off the record. I'm stopping the record right now, but open mic off the record segment is for you to come to the table with anything that's not necessarily related to the topic at hand this evening. So we spend a lot of time talking about Mr. Mom.